Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is William Bell. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and our broadcast at All Things Fulfill. We are grateful for the opportunity to be with you, and we look forward to getting into our study. Got off to just a little bit of a late start, but nevertheless, we're here, and we're going to give you the full lesson, so just stay tuned with us. Now, today we're going to be talking about the constituent elements of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And when we look at that chapter, we're going to compare it with some of the events that we find in Matthew 24. And the reason we do this is to show that there is a direct correlation between Matthew 24 and also 1 Thessalonians 4. As a matter of fact, it's very clear that the same teaching that the Lord gave is that which Paul expresses to the church in Thessalonica. And with this, it will show that the timing of the events that the Lord gave in Matthew 24 equals the same time as that which we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so we're going to take a look at that so that you can see how clear that is. Let me just take a brief review or take time for a brief review of the things that we covered. In our first lesson, we talked about the test of a false prophet from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. On the next broadcast, we spoke about the kingdom that does not come by observation. And so it's not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Christ comes in the kingdom, and therefore it was a spiritual coming of Christ. And, of course, the more we delve into the lesson, the more you will find out that that is, in fact, the case. Then we have the time statements, which indicated the imminence of the return of Christ. Remember, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 and 17, the scripture says, "We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord." And so the text points out very clearly that it was written to those who were then alive and to those who would yet be alive while or when Christ returned. And since that referred to people in the first century generation, then of course it had to be a reference to those who were then living. The third point that we covered was that they did not have an expectation of a physical rapture or transport from the earth, because they had, in fact, erroneously believed that Christ had already returned, and yet they were still on earth, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. So Paul had to give them signs by which to tell them, and of course none of that included that he was giving them information on the fact that they would be transported through the clouds. He simply gave them signs by which they could know so that they would be able to tell while yet on earth that they were that the coming of the Lord had come. Then we have the first fruits, and the first fruits indicates that these were the first Christians living in the first century who had the first fruits of the Spirit. And with that, it indicated the fact that they were the ones who participated in that process called the resurrection, and that some people are wanting to say is the rapture. But this was, in fact, the meaning of this concept of the first fruits. And so that is in the backdrop of 1 Thessalonians 4. You cannot read the New Testament without talking about the first fruits, James 1 and verse 18, Romans 8:23, and several other passages, 1 Corinthians 15, for example, and also in the book of Revelation. And next we spoke about the nature of the resurrection body, showing that it was a body that Paul said died as a result of their being in Christ. And so those who were in Christ, the Bible says, the body was dead, and it was that body that was considered dead that was going to be raised, which could not have been, by the way, a physical body. And so the resurrection being comparable to what is considered the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, therefore could not be of a physical, material nature. You know, one of the questions that we get often, or complaints that we get, is that everything in First Thessalonians 4 is literal. But yet, when you delve into these texts and you look at it, and especially, you know, if you ask a person from Romans 8 and verse 11, is that body a live physical body? When Paul was writing to the Romans, and he asked them this question, or made the statement, if Christ is in you, the body is dead. And so if I were to ask a person, number one, is Christ in them? And then secondly, is their body dead? There's no way they can answer in an affirmative that their physical bodies are dead. And that's the same exact way that Paul was speaking of when he was talking about the situation with the Romans. And just shows very clearly that you cannot force your literal interpretation upon 1 Thessalonians 4. And then we talked about the simultaneous dying and rising of the body. The fact that resurrection is not a consecutive event where a body goes to the ground, stays there for 2,000 years, and then one day, at the twinkling of an eye, a body rises from the grave. That's not the language of the Bible. The Bible is there was a simultaneous dying and rising, even in the verse that we mentioned. And so we encourage you to go back and listen to the lesson so that you can understand that. And then the verb tenses, that these were present tense passive verbs that are spoken of here. And so, in essence, what's being said is that they were being raised, they were being sown, and they were being raised. That, again, shows the simultaneous dying and rising. So that catches us up to where we are today. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to continue on to show the fact that these constituent elements, and by constituent elements, we're talking about all the pieces of the puzzle in 1 Thessalonians 4 are found in Matthew 24 and vice versa. So let's get started in delving into the chapter, looking at these constituent elements of the chapter so that we have an exact replica, if you please, of one chapter to the next, which means, as we said before, that there is no difference between 1 Thessalonians 4 and Matthew chapter 24. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Now, what we see here is the gathering of those who sleep in Jesus. The Bible says, "This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Well, that means that in order to do that, he has to raise them from the dead, those who sleep in Jesus. And therefore, you would have a gathering to Christ. Now, that is what we would term resurrection. That is what we would term gathering together. And so, when we look at Matthew, the verse is 31 of Matthew 24. And verse 31, you have that very concept. Now, in Matthew 24 and verse 31, what is interesting in the text is that it is the prophecy of Daniel chapter 12, and the verse is 2. It is the prophecy of Daniel chapter 12, and the verse is 2, where Daniel says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt." And so in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, you have the subject of the resurrection. Now, in Matthew 24 and verse 31, the scripture says that Jesus would gather together his elect at the sound of the trumpet. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the sounding of the trumpet takes place at the time of the resurrection. So look at the clues that we have in the text. The sounding of the trumpet takes place at the resurrection. 1 Corinthians, and the verse is 15, I mean the chapter is 15, and the verse is 52, where Paul says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when you look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, Daniel talks about many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And when we take Daniel 12 and verse 2, and we also look at Matthew 24:31, where the Bible says that this is the gathering of the elect at the sound of the trumpet, then that would be the coming of Christ in connection with the sounding of the trumpet. Well, that's 1 Corinthians 15:52, and it's also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and the verse is 16, because this is the time that he gathers together those who are dead, and he does it with the sound of a trumpet. So this is the coming of the Lord at the time of the sounding of the trumpet. The same would be true with Revelation chapter 11:15, when the last angel sounds the trumpet and the time comes for the resurrection of the dead. And so here we have this first point in 1 Thessalonians where we talk about the dead who come with Christ. In other words, the gathering, which is what others consider to be the rapture. The Bible shows that this happened according to Matthew 24 and the verses 31. Now here is what that means. That simply means that verse 34 of Matthew 24 governs the event of Matthew 24 and 31. Now, here's what we've pointed out. We've pointed out from the very beginning that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. But here is the coming of the Lord in his kingdom. How do we know that it's his coming in his kingdom? Well, if you look at the parallel text in Luke chapter 21 and the verse is 31, the Bible says, so when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. So this is the coming of the Lord in his kingdom. And in verse 32, he says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So the point is, it is Christ coming in his kingdom. It is his coming at the sound of the trumpet. That would refer to the resurrection of the dead, and therefore it is the coming of Christ in his kingdom. But remember, he does not come in the kingdom with observation. It is not a coming in the kingdom with observation. And since it is not a coming of the kingdom with observation, then the coming in the text is not a literal coming in the sense that it is a physical bodily presence of Christ. But this is all in connection with the subject of the resurrection. And so we can see this first constituent element, the sounding of the trumpet, the gathering together of the elect, according to Matthew 24:31, is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse is 14. Now let's look at the time statement in verse 15. He says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Now, we have already spoken about the time statement, but here we're looking at the comparison between Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now, once again, in Matthew 24 and verse 34, Jesus makes this statement. After he gives all of the signs that would lead up to his return, he talked about the wars and rumors of wars. He talked about the famines, the earthquakes, and the pestilences. He talked about the false Christ. And he said all of these were the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet. He talked then about the necessity that the gospel had to be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end would come. And therefore, the gospel had to be spread to all the nations. And we find fulfillment of that throughout the New Testament, Colossians 1, 5, and 6, verse 23 as well, Romans 1 and verse 8. There are just several passages throughout the New Testament that demonstrate that the gospel had, in fact, been preached to the entire world during the first century generation. Well, here is Jesus saying that when that happens, the end would come. And so that was another of the signs. Then he talked about the abomination of desolation, verses 15 through 18, that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Next, he talked about the Great Tribulation. Again, that's Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Following the Great Tribulation was the darkening of the sun, moon, and stars. That was Joel's prophecy, Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. And we find that it referred to the last days, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and, of course, the destruction of the temple with the falling of the sun, moon, and stars. And then following that, we have the tribes of the land mourning in verse 30. This is a prophecy from Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 10 through 12 that talks about all the tribes of the land would mourn. And then following that, we have the prophecy of Daniel where it says that they would see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. That is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. And then, of course, we've already mentioned verse 31, which is Daniel 12 and verse 2. So when they asked Jesus, when would these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The response that he gives to that is, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. And hence, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain. That is the parallel statement to this generation will by no means pass away. So there is the second constituent element, which is found in Matthew 24. Now, when we go on, we take a look at the trumpet, and we've already mentioned the trumpet, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. It is the Christ. It is the same Christ, because the same Christ that comes in the destruction of Israel in Matthew 24 is the same Christ that is spoken of here, so the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, when we look at this, of course, you know, people, again, want to say that this is a literal coming, but Jesus made it very clear from Luke chapter 17 that the kingdom of God does not come with observation, and the time of the coming of the kingdom equals the time of the coming of the Son of Man. For example, let's take a look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge, and it literally says, who is about to judge the living and the dead at his kingdom and at his appearing. So at his kingdom and appearing, the Bible says that the kingdom of God comes at the time of the resurrection. It comes at the time of the judgment. It comes at the time of the coming of the Lord. So these are all events which take place at one and the same time. They all refer to the same time, and therefore it can be no other than Jesus coming in his kingdom, a kingdom which does not come with observation. So there is no need, therefore, for them to be looking in the sky for a rapture. And so this he couples with, once again, the coming of the trumpet of God. It was also the time of the coming of the angels. Remember in Matthew 24 and verse 31, it says that he would gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth with his holy angels. And so it is also the coming of Christ with the holy angels. And there's no distinction. There's no difference. Every element that you find in 1 Thessalonians 4 is found in Matthew chapter 24. That simply means then that the time statements that govern Matthew 24 are likewise the ones that govern 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and so the coming of the Lord with his holy angels. Let me give you another passage that demonstrates that very clearly from Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at verse 31, the Bible talks about the coming of the Son of Man in his kingdom with his holy angels. So let's just take a look at that text and look and see very clearly that the text says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now, the time that the Son of Man comes in his glory is the time when all the holy angels come with him. And at the time that all the holy angels come with him is the time that he sits on the throne of his glory. Now, the throne of his glory is the throne of his kingdom. Again, there is no distinction. It is the throne of his kingdom. Now, let's look at elsewhere what Jesus said about his kingdom and the time of the judgment. This would confirm what we said from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, when he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge, or who was about to judge, the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. In Matthew 16, the verses are 27 and 28, the text says, For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, notice that the text says this is the time that he was going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he was going to reward each according to his works. The Bible says, Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, that's every element that we find in Matthew 24. It is every element that we find in 1 Thessalonians 4. It is the time that he was going to come and reward each according to his works. That's the judgment of the living and the dead, and therefore involves the dead in 1 Thessalonians. When he says, Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here, that's the equivalent of Paul's statement, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And then when he says, they shall not die till they have seen the Son of Man, that would be the coming of Christ. So Jesus, the Son of Man, would come. So this audience is going to see the coming of the Son of Man. And then notice the Bible says he would be coming in his kingdom. So once again, we have the same elements that we find in 1 Thessalonians 4. This compares directly with Matthew 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. As a matter of fact, there are some Bibles which have in the margin a parallel to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Well, once again, if the kingdom of God does not come with observation, and if Christ comes in that kingdom, how then could one see Christ coming in an invisible kingdom? How could one see the kingdom? How could one see the Christ? You see, the same thing that is said concerning the kingdom is said concerning the coming of the Lord. You do not observe it with physical eyes. That means that 1 Thessalonians 4 is not giving you specific details of something that you would physically experience. So when you're talking about rapture ready, it has no correlation whatsoever with some physical, material, biological transport from the earth. It is rather a spiritual gathering of the saints to the Lord. And this is what was taking place. It was of those within the first century generation, and therefore it had to refer to people living in their day and in their time. So when we talk about these constituent elements of 1 Thessalonians 4, we find everything that was mentioned. Now let's talk about verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Well, was there a cloud coming of Christ in Matthew 24? Of course. In verse 30, once again, the Bible says, Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So he says that those who were of the tribes of the land. Now that's a very, very specific term. It refers to the tribes who lived in the first century. This refers to Israel. Speaking of the tribes speaks of the tribes of Israel. And of course, at this time, it was primarily the tribe of Judah. But of course, since God was gathering, then all the tribes. But he says, those who were disobedient would mourn. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. So that's the sign of the Son of Man. The sign of the Son of Man was the fall of the sun, moon, and stars, meaning the destruction of the city, destruction of the nation. That was the sign that Jesus was on the throne. And so he says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the land will mourn. You see, once their city falls, once their temple is destroyed, then they mourn. And so it says, all the tribes of the earth, and the word is more accurately translated land, because it is referring to the land of Palestine, all the tribes of the land mourn. And the scripture says, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now this scripture is a quotation from Daniel 7 and verse 13, but it does not necessitate us translating the text as a literal coming of the Lord on literal cumulus clouds. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 19, and the verse is 1. Isaiah chapter 19, and the verse is 1. The Bible speaks about the Lord riding a swift cloud to Egypt. The riding of a cloud, or the coming of, on a cloud, is not something that had never been done before as far as Israel was concerned. This language is not foreign to those of the first century. They understood what coming on the clouds meant. The Bible says in Isaiah 19 and verse 1, the burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. Now, to show you that this is apocalyptic language and it's dealing with the same kind of information that we find in Matthew 24, I want you to notice the language that follows the coming of the Lord in the clouds. The Bible says, I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother. Everyone against his neighbor. City against city. Kingdom against kingdom. Now, that is the same information, same type of information that you find in Matthew 24 when Jesus talked about the wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation. That was apocalyptic language that is used to describe the fall of a nation. And so since God was authorizing this judgment, since God was the one in control of this judgment and was meting out this punishment to the Egyptians, the Bible says it is the Lord who rides upon a swift cloud. Nevertheless, he was not riding upon a literal cloud, and therefore this is the same nature of the apocalyptic description of the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4. And so he will send, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so there's the cloud coming. The other constituent element of 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says we should be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. Now, when we get to this one of our lessons, we're going to talk specifically about this meeting the Lord on the clouds, because there is a specific event that was very well known and practiced in the first century. And there are other allusions to it in the New Testament of a dignitary when he would come to visit a city. And here, of course, is Christ coming as a dignitary. So we want to look at the meaning of that term as we consider the topic on these constituent elements. And we will examine this language in view of that to show you that it is not a transport of individuals from the earth, but rather it was the visit and the completion of a journey that was already in progress of Christ to his disciples, and therefore the disciples would go out to meet him and accompany him on the conclusion of his journey, not on taking a new journey with him to some different place or back to another place. So we want to talk about that when we get to that point. Well, that's about all the time that we have for our lesson today. We thank you for tuning in with us, and we look forward to being with you on tomorrow. And until that time, this is William Bell saying have a very pleasant good morning, and we will encourage you to visit us at Blog Talk Radio at our website at allthingsfulfilled.com, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, 7 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.